Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 500.
This is cue all this death. Is all yeah, magical stuff
all
happening.
Special effects that you had planned and all that. I mean, come on. It's the extra production that we throw in on the 500th episode, where we're finally doing live video that we have talked about possibly doing in about a million different times over the years that we said could be happening. And then we just never did it. But finally, Cole Coffee said, I need something new to do. I need an opportunity. Episode number 500 live.
That's it. And, I mean, it's funny because originally I set up, like, a camera over there. I had the camera over here. Then when I started, like, getting all the gear together to make it work, I was like, I'm missing some things. And then I started going, like, crazy in my head. And I was just like, J-Mo, do you mind if I just do a two-shot like this? I was like, I'm about over this. I was like, I just want to give them an image, and then we'll call it a day, and here we are.
So here we are. We carved out this extra special section of the manor here.
Yeah, I'm glad that the servants let us come take over their part of the room. You know, I was like, can we sit in your living room area? And they're like, yes, please, please.
We don't normally come to this. No, just kidding. This is where we've been sitting for a long time now, yes. Right? For some reason... Now, we used to go on location quite a bit in the early days. We used to make our way around. First of all, I was just looking through. Let's just say this. April 2nd, 2015 is when we did the very first episode. We were both down in Miami, Florida. That's where the very first episode. 500, not only 500 episodes, but 500 consecutive weeks.
Yep.
I've done 498 of them. I've missed two along the way, but that's pretty good to get 498 out of 500. But we as a team have never missed. You handle it. And look at this, man. This is crazy. I was going through the old pages. Episode 1, Miami. Episode 2, Krakow, Poland. So right away we're in Poland.
That was awesome.
Episode 3, Las Vegas. 4 was California. 5, back in Las Vegas. Then 6, Adelaide. 7, Manila. Somehow, we had an open workout with Donald Cerrone that I don't even remember taking place that's in there. Then we did Vegas. Episode 9, Goiânia, Brazil. Yeah. And then episode 10, New Orleans, which was, if you've never listened to... I don't know what we were doing at that point. I mean,
that
we still night, don't know what we're doing.
I was going to say, that night bad. We were doing everything, apparently. I remember we had... was it absinthe? We had liquor. Yes. We had beer. I remember sitting outside in that patio area, and I remember, because I thought at one point, because it was hard to get absinthe at a lot of places, and I remember the bartender that was like, oh, no, we got absinthe. And we were like, is it the real stuff? They're like, oh, yeah, trust us. So we were like, we had it. And then the rest of the night's kind of a crazy blur.
An absolute blur.
I do
blur.
Remember.
Part of it was from a strip club, right?
Strip club. Yeah, we were up on the top. We were throwing beads. I'm pretty sure you were pegging people pretty hard with the stuff because they gave us beads. And it wasn't just you because there were some other UFC staff that came up there, and they were throwing the beads as well. So, that was crazy.
We, like, commentated a street fight or something?
Yeah, there was one going on down below, and then I almost got in a street fight towards the end. Remember, there was the guy that was walking through with the,
the
dog
totally
leash, and he was, like,
that.
Swinging it. And I remember I don't know why I almost got into it. Because I think
you were just telling him not to, right?
Yeah,
like, hey, bro, you can hit somebody. Because we're all about public safety.
Yeah, that's us completely.
Yep.
I do remember because that was back when I used to have the bad trend of falling asleep while trying to edit. And I remember that was one of the ones where it was like we were trying to edit. And I remember I was just like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. But we did get through it. But I remember the next day I felt like death. It was terrible. And then after that, it was like, we're never going to listen to this episode. We're just going to lock this away and never talk of it again. I've only once, went back and listened to it.
No.
And I still was not happy with it.
Oh, no. We were crazy. We've matured a little bit over the course of 500 episodes.
Yeah, I mean, look, right now, coffee. There might be something in the coffee.
Something in the coffee. I said we matured a little bit. I didn't say we've matured completely and that we make complete wise decisions all the time. Shout out to everybody that's been giving us thank yous, by the way. Mark Fellows in the chat, obviously one of the first guys to always be there for the pat on the back. Yeah. Man, he has supported us from the beginning. I got a message from Simon Head earlier today, and he was like,
that
man,
was awesome.
Congratulations. He actually messaged me privately and said he hopes he can tune in. And he actually said, to think you survived that crazy show in New Orleans and did another 400-plus episodes. I'm like, you were so right. I want to give a shout-out as well, a gentleman who's actually in Las Vegas right now, and I'm so disappointed that our schedules did not align. But Chris from London, he's London in the Geezer on Twitter, or Mike Tyson 2007 is the actual handle. But he has literally listened to every single episode from day one. He's having a great time in Las Vegas right now. He was available on Monday to hang out, but my schedule was just insane. The stuff is getting crazy with CFFC and everything we got going on over there. So I was like, well, what about Tuesday? How are you looking Tuesday? He was going out to see the Grand Canyon. Obviously, that's like a full day.
You got to do that.
But he said it's his first time in Vegas. He's having an absolute blast, so he thinks he'll be back. So when he comes back in a year or two, we'll definitely do it. If I make it over London, we'll get it. But I wanted to shout him because he is a day one listener as well.
Yeah, so. James Jung, who came out and took us on our crazy blackout trip not too long ago, he reached out, and he's another one that's been day one.
Still recovering.
And, you know, and again, I know we say this, and I don't want to sound like we're just being insincere, but for those that have been around from the very beginning, it means the world that you've chosen to stick along this ride with us. You know, when we say, you know, the roadies and you're the road crew and you've been along this journey with us, we really mean it. I mean, you guys have honestly been on this road with us, and it's meant so much. And you've all seen us grow and change, and we've been through so much life stuff during this that I think if it wasn't for the podcast, I think probably would have lost my mind at least 10 times. I mean, I've lost it at least 5 times, but it would have been twice as bad.
It would have been worse
if it didn't have the podcast. So,
hey, but it's, you know what? Honestly, man, in 10 years, I think about like, well, almost 10 years, 9 years, like April 2nd, 2015, so 9 years. You've come a long way in terms of like your ability on the microphone. It led to obviously a commentary gig with the Lingerie Fighting Championships, which I know is probably your favorite freelance gig that you have.
It is literally the favorite. When people think like, oh, are you going to move from Vegas? I was like, but we've created some unique things out here in Vegas. It's like, how do I tell them? You know, we kind of got this lingerie thing that I really enjoy commentary.
It is so funny. I will get messages. I got one the other night from Chris Kalaitis, the UFC vet who I've called Fight League Atlantic Fights. And because those clips will just end up somewhere. And he sent me a clip.
The numbers
he's like,
do crazy.
He's
They're
like,
crazy
look at
numbers.
This. Look at you. He's like, look at your spot right here, bro. I'm like, hey, best gig it is. As much as I love my CFFC family, I will call some lingerie fights when they come along.
Oh, it's so much fun.
But you've come a long way in 9 years, man.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And it's funny because when we started this, it was always like, oh, man, you could be the front. You're the front. Everybody wants to listen to John Morgan. I was like, I don't mind being the back. And that's been the same way even like on site, you know, like for so many years, it's fun just to capture the moment. I've never really been like, oh, I need to make this about me, which is what I think most people want to watch. They want to listen to the fighter. They don't need to listen to me, you know,
agreed,
when he's talking this other stuff. But it's been fun, you know, at times, you know, being uncomfortable and kind of jumping in that role and having to do it. And, like, again, we were just talking about the Apex the other night. There was literally no real media. So then it was like me in the media room, and I'm just like,
night.
I just want to shoot. I just want to shoot.
You know what's funny is I was actually talking to Frankie Edgar earlier today. Check that out over on Grind City Media, if you will.
You
check that out. Get that little plug in there. But I was talking to him, and I was actually talking to him about podcasting, right? Because Frankie Edgar, you think about his fighting days, right? Like I told him, I was like, you were always very polite with us. You didn't seem annoyed by us, but you also didn't seem like you necessarily wanted to do interviews. I'm like, so what is it about podcasting that you've enjoyed that like you want to? And he said it so great, and I think it actually sums up what I feel too. Is that like he's like, even on like social media, I don't really like post stuff. He's like, because I don't feel like I just need to put my opinion out there. He's like, but if you come to my house and you ask me what I feel about something, I'm going to
tell you.
And he's like, and that's what it is. And I kind of feel the same way. Like, I don't post a lot of stuff on social media because I honestly, like, sometimes, like, I want to post during the fights and I'm like, who cares? Like, who cares what you have to say? But if you're taking the time to check in and listen, then I know you do care and you enjoy the conversation. And so anyway, we've been doing this, and I don't know when we launched that we ever really had, like, any overriding goal or like what we wanted to accomplish or even now a general direction of business, you know what I mean? But it's been a good chance. And honestly, you know, now that commentary is kind of my full-time gig, I think this helped me a lot get better at that.
Yeah,
just because, like, I'm used to filling time, the and a half episodes, which are usually me solo. Like, I'm talking 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think it really helped me to get better at that, because you're only going to get so many opportunities to do commentary. But this and having discussions and talking through, like, honestly, I think it helped me out a lot.
Yeah, and it's funny because you say that, because I remember listening to your early stuff when you were doing the commentary at the Tough Enough and stuff, and, like, your early Tough Enough days to now is night and day.
Night and day.
I mean, it really 100%. Is. Like, listen to the flow right now. It is so crazy. You know, that just credit to the growth that you've had, too, and good on you, man. You used to be the journalist of the year. Now I say you've changed director, categories.
I got a long climb to get to that commentator of the year category, but I wouldn't mind being there someday.
But in terms of chops, man, I like, in terms of events, like, you're getting lots of good numbers. So, I mean, like, eventually it's going to be hard to kind of deny putting you in there with some of these cats, you know, for sure.
I appreciate that. You know? Well, I should say, I guess I can break the news here that I will be on the microphone on Halloween, October 31st, for the launch of the NCAA wrestling season.
Look at that.
Your boy is – I'm going to be working behind the scenes. I'm already doing some behind-the-scenes stuff. I'll be working some production stuff, so I'll be, like, helping produce the show as well. But then I'll be on the microphone as well. And then 2 days later, we're going to have a grappling event that's a military-supported event out at Langley Eustis, the joint base out there, so we get to go out there. So, yeah, the everything was kind of a bit moving parts on it, but it all got finalized yesterday. So, you heard me as I was walking in the door. We were finalizing some flights and some travel information. But, yeah, so two events on the mic next week. So
that's
I'm excited
crazy.
About it,
You
man.
Started by being a fluffer behind the scenes, and now look
sir,
at you.
Sir.
Now look at you.
Sir, that was not my initial role. In fact, not only was it not my initial role, it's not a role I've ever fulfilled. Not a rule. You know, I was going to say this. So people are, if you're watching live, and I see Mark Fellows and Simon Head are over there. Our two good buddies are in there watching live. You get to see where we've been. I was kind of getting on the point that we used to go to bars, and we used to do it. We had a home base. I think
did it B-dubs.
B-dubs for a while.
Yeah, which when you come to town, more than likely, we're going to have you go to B-Dubs.
Well,
we brought multiple people over there.
Warm
Springs and Durango.
We'll take you there. Then it was Boomers for a long time, which was great.
Boomers.
RIP Boomers, man. That was – which is that where Area 15 is now?
No, it's just around the corner from there.
Okay.
Like, if you go to the end of that street, Area 15 is to the right, and now that new Universal or whatever.
That's where it's
going to
be.
The Universal.
It's like a Universal.
Have you seen that building?
Massive.
It is ginormous. It literally looks like they could put a movie-like studio inside there. It's so ginormous. But, yeah, it's just around the corner from that.
So we did that, and then I think part of it was maybe budgeting concerns, and you took a general direction health that maybe we just didn't want to go get hammered every weekend.
Yeah.
So we started doing it at home. And I guess probably we just never really did my house because I do have a son, and he was younger early on.
Yeah.
Just think, when we started this thing, now my kid's birthday is in May, so he was just about to turn 3, but he was only 2 when we started this podcast. Now he's in 7th grade.
It's crazy.
About to get shifted over to the adult jiu-jitsu class. So, I mean, he's turning into – I mean, that's how long it's been. But anyway, so we never really did my house, so we just started doing your place. And now every week I drive over here and you just hang out at home.
I like it.
Somehow I got wrangled into I'm the one that has to drive every week.
There was a couple times you went over there, but it was always like back then I think we were still drinking as well too. It's so like me walking in with like a 6-pack or a 12-pack. And then there's the family, and then here we are. Let's drink and talk sports. Here at least there's a no judgment zone. It's a no judgment zone. You could do what you want.
Oh, definitely wouldn't want my kid to see me walking in the house with beer.
Yeah. That's never happened.
That's never happened. I'm a terrible.
But it's funny because your wife and Eli were present when we recorded the first one. We were all down in Miami.
That's right, because they came with us.
Yeah, because we did like an Airbnb together, and I remember we were sitting outside at this little metal, like, sort of like, I think it was white, not rickety, it was sort of stable, whatever, table.
It was like patio lawn
furniture stuff. And I remember we got eaten up, and I can't remember if we were maybe even positioned. No, I think I was on the camera side of the table and you were here. I still can visualize being there because I remember we got eaten up by the mosquitoes.
Bad.
But I can't believe it's been like 10 years, but I can very clearly remember sitting out there thinking like, wow, we like talking about MMA. We like talking about this and that. Like, why don't we? You know? Because that was just after my time. I left the UFC, transitioned over to Junkie. And that was when the reason when I picked the song that now is like the roadshow song. And every time I hear the NFL or somebody use, I'm like, hey,
yeah,
hey, that's roadshow song.
Don't use that.
The song is called Staging a Comeback. Cause I remember at the time I was like, fuck you, UFC. I was like, watch me. Here we go. We're going to do something. We're going to create something over at Junkie. And it was, I felt like it just made sense. So that was the story behind why I wanted to choose that song. And now it's just, it's become such a big part of the show that it's funny. Like, I hear other people like bring it up to me and like, hey, I heard the roadshow theme
the
other day.
Because it's royalty free music, right? Yeah. So it gets used sometimes in some places.
You know, but I know where they heard it first.
100%.
You know?
100%. That's where it got.
NFL was listening, and they're like, you know,
big roadshow fans over at the NFL. It's crazy, man, to think about. Like, all right, so here you are. You're talking about being in the press room the other night, being really the only one back there with a camera, the only one to ask questions. I mean, when that was happening, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we've ever really talked about this much, but, like, there was an effort to keep you out of the media room for a little while.
It was and it was immediate right after.
Right.
Because remember, the very first event, I think, after was in Dallas.
Dallas.
And the VP that I was, fighting with.
Yep.
Was trying to make a push to PR to not have me come to the event.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, F you, dude. And PR was just like,
Why would we
stop him? You know, like, I like to think that they enjoyed me, but also, too, they realized that I'd switched over to Junkie, and they're like, we're not going to just deny a media member that didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Like, why would
just because he doesn't work for us anymore.
Yeah, it was just so
shady. That was a weird time, though, right, man?
I was so infuriated.
It's an odd time. Yeah. And now you're back there just old faithful, just old reliable back there, man. Nobody else back there. It's a weird feeling. I liked it, though. You know what's funny? Like, I know we joke sometimes about you never really getting to watch fights. Because you're in the back, or sometimes you'll come out for the first fight or whatever. It's a trade-off, right? Like, because there's nothing better than having that amazing seat, right? You're sitting right up there close. You're getting the best seat of the house. Yeah. You're getting, I mean, it's amazing. We all love the sport, right?
Yep.
But there is something, and I do miss it now that I'm not really doing media days and stuff. There's something about, like, I don't want to say, like, sharing that moment with them, but, yeah. Like, when they're on that high of, like, this amazing moment, and you're the one that gets to talk to them and to lead them down talking about, you know, the journey, and it's cool, man. There's something to that.
You certainly connect with them at a different level. It's different, you know. It's one, just even being there, but also when you're lucky enough to bring one of those moments out, you never forget it. And it's not, maybe I'm being weird. Sometimes I feel like you form, like, not a bond with them, but the fighter remembers that.
100%.
You know, when you're able to bring some of that out. I mean, we've had great, Khalil's one of the ones that comes to mind that, you know, we just recently saw him put on that wonderful performance against Alex. But I remember we've had multiple discussions with him. And that's one of the things I love about him. He just bears himself. If you give them the platform and you ask the right questions and you don't do it as a condescending sort of piece of shit like some people want to do, you get these amazing answers out. And to be there and have that moment, I mean, like, it's amazing. So I'm with you. It feels great to be back there and you're able to do that stuff. What's tough in a night like that happened the other night, since nobody else was really asking questions and since we were sort of short-staffed since we had people over in Saudi Arabia. I was forced to – I'm trying to edit and cover other things, so I'm missing the fight. So by the time I'm trying to get, like, cliff notes, like, what the heck happened? Because then the fighter comes in, and then you're like, all right, well, what am I going to try to ask? Because I did not see the fight at all. And it's just like, okay.
That's the worst.
Let's just lead into it, and then you just play off of them. And then, like, even that's a skill that I got better over time. I mean, even back when I was at Ohio State, and you have to sort of interact with some of the student-athletes and stuff, but you never got stuff that – you would get later on working with pros. Even when I work with the UFC and you're asking the fighters and stuff, they would sort of give you things because they knew you were the UFC. So it wasn't as hard as a member, a media member, to try to pull answers from people. But being able to kind of like get better at doing that, even in a moment when you didn't get to see the fight, I'm certainly a lot better now and more adept at doing it than when I first started doing it. Because at first I'd be like, what am I even supposed to say? I didn't even see this person's fight. You know, like, how am I gonna get through this? Like, can you not bring them?
Boy, that moment, that
knockout, finish, submission. You won. I know you won.
Listen,
tell me about
it. Did you think you had done enough to secure the victory? I mean, after I knocked him out in seven seconds?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, so that's always an interesting one. But no, it is. It's, you know, and again, you know, this past Apex definitely, you know, maybe gave some people the reason to be like, oh, see all these decisions that happens in the Apex. You know, maybe if there was more people there, I still enjoyed the fights that I was able to watch. You know,
it didn't have you would like some more finishes. Like, it was a lot of decisions, but honestly, I thought it was a good show.
I mean, at the end of the night, when they came around to bonus, I think a lot of people had ideas of who was going to get a bonus. I was surprised that some people didn't get bonuses.
Right.
Like, one was Cam Smotherman.
I thought Cam Smotherman. You know, it's funny because I mentioned that on the show.
How did I give that dude a bonus?
I thought the performance he turned in as such a big underdog on insanely short notice, given the travel. And I thought he deserved a bonus, and number one. And number two, I like it when guys like that get bonuses. Not that anybody on the card can't use 50K, but when you're just getting to the UFC, you're probably in debt. You know what I mean? You probably don't have a lot of money in the bank. That makes a huge impact.
And
you
pulled a lot of favors, I'm sure, to make that trip happen. You know, it's not like he was preparing for it, where the whole team makes sure that all the ducks in a row. That's an immediate – everybody pulls together to make sure that he can travel and go do this fight. So I'm sure they incurred costs for other family members to come well, because they want to share that moment with them. 50 G's would have went a long way to kind of repay the family and everybody, because he had a bit of a team there, you know, watching and stuff. But man, he was fun on the mic in the back as well. I cut some stuff from the post fight, and I'll share it to our listeners. So he initially comes back, and obviously has a great relationship with Alex. So he sits down first at the table, and he's just like, Alex is like, "How you feeling?" And he's like, "I'm feeling better now, looking at you." You know, hey, and then kind of gives these, hey, and I'm just like, obviously these guys are buddies. I was like, but I'm going to do this young man a favor.
Right.
I'm going to cut all that crap until the right where they started, because as much as I know that, okay, fighters and friends, you know, people can have relationships and be friendly and they could joke around shit. Some troll on YouTube is going to be like, who's this young faggot that's coming up? You know, like, he's... Oh, man, we got another gay guy that loves Alex. And it's just
where were you?
Stop.
Where were you when I told Robert Whittaker that he didn't have to put a shirt on?
I was enjoying that one.
Where's my buddy cutting out that stuff? Like, we don't need that.
You know, that was – I think we're streaming that live, though. I think we were streaming that one live. But, I mean, you know, that's one of those things. Yes, could I have left it in there? You know, sure, because it was a fun moment.
Yeah,
but it's like at some point, you know, the kid's just starting his career. Let's do him a favor.
Because
he wants to come and have fun and interact with a media member that he likes and that feels comfortable with. But on the same side, you have people that don't care about your previous prior relationship. They're just going to be like, oh, man, here's another kid. Look at what is this? What is this whack shit, you know, or whatever. Yep. But
I thought the kid
was outstanding. His performance was incredible.
It was a good show. I thought it was a good show. Obviously, you mentioned you got the Francis Ngannou shirt on right here as well.
Yeah.
What?
I took this out for when I went walking earlier today, and I guess that means I didn't shower up forever. I went walking earlier.
He's like, what? I totally forgot we were going to be on video. He was like, I probably should have changed clothes.
Man, this is when
I thought you were trying. That was an open workout he had.
Yeah,
here,
when
right?
he did this top secret boxing meeting at that little gym that they had set up before his Tyson Fury fight.
I want to get your thoughts on that real quick before we talk about this week. Obviously, we enjoy reminiscing over the 500 episodes, and we're proud to be there. But we will talk some MMA. Just to get your initial thoughts. You know, I talked about it. I it was funny. When the fight happened, I really think Francis fought intelligently. I think it's why stand there and trade with the bigger dude. I will admit that when the fight was over, I was kind of like, that didn't live up to what I thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? And then he got on the microphone and everything changed. You know what I mean? Like, when I saw the emotion out of Dewey and out of Eric and out of Francis and what he said – I mean, just like at that point, any thoughts I had about how good or not as good the fight I thought it was, that all became completely irrelevant to me.
Yeah, because there was a moment right after he finished, and that last fury of shots that finally put Hennen out were just vicious. There was a nice one on the back of the head that, like, I think the very last one was solidly on the back of his head. I was like, if he wasn't out then, he was all.
When they posted that with the social media clip of it from outside the cage,
where you could heal it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude, I was surprised he stayed conscious as long as he did. But when he initially finished, he sort of just sat there, and I was like, is he tired? I was like, I wondered if so much of the anticipation for the fight, I'm sure there was some worry in there as well, you know, just sort of like wore him out because, you know, he was so tensed up over there. But then when you hear him afterwards, and I just wondered, and then just assumed that that was just that rush
emotional
of emotion that kind of happened right at that moment. Like, and there was so much buildup, and maybe, I don't think there was ever any doubt as to whether, you know, he was the best or, you know, whatever. But Hennen you know, was the boogeyman opposite of him. He was the guy that everybody – I mean, he was the bigger guy.
I thought Hennen was a legitimate challenge. I really thought – and he is.
Just – I mean, it's the same thing. You try to say, like, oh, Ciryl Gane's not a legit fighter, but you see what John Jones did. It was just the way that the fight played out,
great
you know.
Point.
If
great
he would have landed some power, if he would have had a chance to land a shot, maybe we would have saw something, you know. But Francis did what Francis was supposed to do, you know, kind of swarmed and took over and just took control of it. And when he had him against that cage, man, holding on to that hand and just that power, holy cow. It was fantastic. But, no, I mean, it was incredible to watch. I was very, very proud for him. I was immensely proud of his whole team and just everybody around him. I know what this meant for them. I think as much as just for Francis, everybody that put so much time in him was probably just as worried and stressed about what the outcome was going to be. And I think they were just so happy for him. They were so emotional, and you know, there was so much stuff, you know, that came out after him talking about Kobe and all of them just sort of praised him, and all the little posts that came after was just, it was fun. It was hard to not get emotionally attached to that sort of story. And that's one of the great things, you know, outside the fan, we love the activity. We love the entertainment. We love the fight, the action, the violence. But then, you know, the human element is what we've always said, too, is just so amazing and what draws you to these fighters. You know, they all have stories. They've all been through things that we can either relate to or things that we can empathize with. And hearing Francis'
story. I'm still inspired by fighters, man. I'm still inspired by fighters.
It's hard not to, right?
Yep.
I mean, I think you'd have to be – you have to either think of them as just purely entertainment where you're just like, oh, it's just another option. I like reality TV, but every once in a while I like watching MMA. I think the diehards that are bought into MMA have bought into the characters, the struggles that everybody has kind of gone to and overcome. I think there's always that element where it's like you'd like to think that if a fight broke out, you would do something. These people epitomize taking fear – looking it straight on and just saying, like, you're not going to win today. I'm going to overcome you. And that's something so – it's inspiring because we all want to be able to think that in a moment of fear we can overcome fear. But a lot of people don't. A lot of people sometimes – it is.
It's hard.
I mean, that's why they call it fear and don't call it fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's scary, you know, to see these people do things. And then when you hear about afterwards the struggles that they had in camps, the struggles they had in their youth, when you find out – what drove them into wanting to learn self-defense. You know, there's so many incredible stories. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be moved by people's stories.
And they even in their current forms, they face self-doubt, like every single one of them. You know
yes.
what I mean? Because we all have that self-doubt. They all have it, every single one of them. Every single person, to a man, to a woman, is in the locker room even. You know what I mean? Just going, why am I here? Why am I doing this? You know what I mean? And along the way – Yeah, and they overcome that, man. They put that behind. They overcome it. I'm still inspired by it. And this, obviously, the type of loss that Francis dealt with that no parent should have to deal with, man. It was an amazing moment. So, great performance. Like I said, I'll admit, when the fight was over, I think I wanted to see more of just a tussle between these two titans, and instead it was overall pretty dominant. And I was like, but then, like I said, once he was on the mic, man, that just all changed. And Hopefully we'll get to see it again.
Well, a lot of people, you know, I think they're thinking, you know, like, oh, he's so much in boxing. Is the wrestling still going to be there? Is the ground control still going to be there? I think that clearly answered the question, you
it
know?
Was. All right, Mark Fellows chimes in with an excellent question here. It says, does CC use a golf cart, to travel around the palatial grounds? I imagine walking would not be practical given the acreage. And I think it's a good question because – I'm not here on a daily basis. I'm only here when I come to record. And obviously, when I show up, the staff carries you in on the throne.
Usually, it's travel by throne.
Is that really? So
yeah, I mean, on occasion.
I didn't know if that was just to the show and back or if that was like the daily method around the grounds.
I told them they didn't have to do it when I went to the restroom. I was like, I'm fine walking most times. I mean, if it's more than like 10, 15 feet, I'm like, okay, maybe the throne. Carry the throne. If it's more than that, then yeah, golf cart's nice. I'm thinking about having a module built onto the golf cart that they could take the throne directly.
And just set it onto the golf
cart. And then fit it right in. Just lock it in there. Maybe Elon. Elon, if you're listening to this, if the SpaceX Tesla people can help us out with that would be awesome.
Get that design done. Hey, I'm gonna give a public service announcement real quick. Talking about vehicles. This show, well, I wouldn't say that this show almost didn't happen, but I had a weird thing. This probably doesn't happen to very many people, okay?
Yeah.
But we have a secondary car in our family that speaking of, I think we bought right before the first show, probably. It's a 2015 Fiat 500, right? Tiny little car. Yeah, it's a cool little tiny little car. My wife thought it was cute. We needed a second vehicle because, you know, once the son was born, and you know, we only had one car at the time, but it was like, hey, we really need two in case we're in different places at different times or whatever. So we bought this car. And it's just always been the secondary vehicle. It's 10 years old. It only has 65,000 miles on it. Yeah, so, I mean, we don't use it that often. Yeah. But my wife sent me a text the other day from jiu-jitsu practice. And shout out to whoever this was. I don't know who the parent or whatever it was that did this. But came in and was like, hey, that's your Fiat out there, right? And she's like, yeah, yeah. Did you see there's a crack in the tire? And I was, no, she has no idea. So I went up there and looked, and she sent me a video of it. Like, there was a straight crack in the tread of the tire. And like, she's like, I can see the wires of
it. Like it went down the sidewall?
No, like on the actual tread of
it. Oh, wow.
So check this out. So she's like, what should I do? And I was like, I don't think you should drive that. I'm like, we have roadside assistance. Let's get it towed home. You take an Uber. We'll get it fixed. Anyway, turns out, and I mean, this is me, I guess, as the gentleman of the family to keep up, even though it's mainly her vehicle, but those are still the original tires on it.
Oh.
10-year-old tires. I think they were just
60-some thousand miles. That's pretty good.
Still crack. I think they were just cracking due to age. Yeah, I mean, much less the mileage. But I was reading that, like, you should. So anyway, if you've got an old car that doesn't get a lot of miles on it, double check, because I was reading. I'm like, because she asked me, look, I'll be honest with you, I don't know a lot about cars, but she was like, can I drive on that? And I was like, probably not, but let me read. And I started, and they were like, oh no, that can actually blow out. Yeah. And like, and she's got our son and a friend in the car on the way home. That would be incredibly dangerous.
Well, usually, well, probably even if she's on like local streets, she's not going crazy. But yeah, I wouldn't recommend
the highway.
A highway like, where you're going high speed.
215 over there. Yeah. So anyway, I just want to give
a public
service announcement that if you got old ass tires on there, be checking them. I didn't know.
Who looks at tires when you're just walking through the parking lot? Well,
that's a good question.
Like, why were they looking at your tires?
Maybe they sliced them. Did you notice?
So they were trying to curry favor.
Stop
they were trying
it.
To curry
That's
favor.
The
they're like, when they all of a sudden they're like, hey, by the way, just a reminder, I'm the one that told you about the car tire thing. Does your husband get tickets to Apex shows?
That
or,
is a
T-Mobile.
That is a genius long play there. Like that, we're gonna
like. You know, I know there's a UFC 310 coming to town, you know.
You know, I don't know some guys. You think maybe you could get us in? That's funny.
Sorry, that's my knife that I just
paid no attention there. Oops, sorry about that. Poked myself with
I'm glad they figured that out. But
got all new tires on there. We went ahead and changed it out. So if you got an old vehicle or a car that you don't use that much, check the tires on it.
Yeah, 60-some thousand miles. That's you did it pretty good. I mean, a lot of times you see, like, tire ratings, they'll say, oh, 0 to whatever. I don't know if 80,000 is legit, but out here with the heat and stuff, like, it burns it up. Like, even now, I feel like I still got decent tread, but the other day I was taking a turn, and I thought it, like, spun. I was like, oh, no, is my tread already gone? But it still has a decent little amount, but those things probably have maybe 15,000 miles or something because I don't drive at all.
Yeah. To the Apex and back, it's like, what, two miles?
No, it's far.
Oh, it's crazy. So check your tires, everybody. Check your tires. And I want to give one last, before we get into MMA again, a viewing recommendation outside of sports, which I don't I know. I don't watch stuff.
On occasion.
I
if you go back to episode 313, John recommended.
I don't recommend much, but this was recommended to me by Matt Serra when I was hosting Unfiltered.
Oh, that nice and little name drop there. Yeah,
like that. Worked that in there. He said Ray Longo was a fan. I was like, well, if Ray Longo's going to watch it, because Matt watches a lot of like sci-fi and stuff, and I'm like, I don't know. But he's like, Ray Longo, Penguin.
I was gonna.
It's so good.
I hear it's amazing.
It's so good. Now I've heard people say it's basically just the Sopranos in the DC universe.
That's why I was thinking. I was when you thought of Ray Longo, I'm like, okay, it's gonna be a crime drama or some sort of mob shit.
It's good, and you know what? And it is.
It's Colin Farrell, right?
Which I didn't even know.
That's crazy.
The dude is so good.
Yeah,
like, he is.
The
incredible.
Makeup looks really, really good. Like it does not look like him at all.
It is. I binge watched the whole thing.
No shit.
And it's not all the way. Here's the only. I will give you the forewarning that it's not like all the way out yet. You know what I mean? So it's. I think it's like maybe 5 or 6 episodes, but I guess they're still releasing them. So you can't. I mean, you can get caught up if you want to be current. You can't sit
can't
there and
binge
complete
the whole
it.
Season.
No, but it's damn good, man. It's really. The correlations to The Sopranos, which I mean, if there's a show to emulate, that was a pretty damn good one.
Yeah.
They're definitely there.
Yeah.
It is intense as hell. Like this
yeah,
is dark. There's no punches pulled in this thing. Like it's
That's
intense
awesome.
And it's damn good.
You know, just like that. I mean, imagine if somebody tried to binge this show, our podcast.
Oh my God,
that would take some time. You count all the and a halves, and then you count. So this is episode 500. Say if they're all roughly an hour, and then you count
the and a halves. Longer, we used to go longer because we'd have some interviews, and we go an hour and a half, 2 hours.
I'm not a mathematician, but that sounds like 20 years probably binge.
Scott, at least. I mean, that sounds least. 20 years.
Wow.
100%.
Your kids would finish it. Your kids' kids.
I wonder how many episodes my kids listen to. I know he's listening to some.
He's listening to some. Because he pulls out little phrases every once in a while, which is pretty cool.
Hey, we're just real, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't think I'm not the best example, but I'm not the worst either. I got some bad values. Yeah. I got some good values.
It is so crazy because when you say that, when I think about when we started, Eli was about like yay tall. Mm-hmm. And now the fact that he's actually about yay tall from the ground.
I'm telling you. He's just barely shorter than Daniela now.
I thought he was like about as tall. That's so crazy.
He's almost as tall as Daniela now. And yeah. I mean, I remember I think I reached my current height in eighth or ninth grade. I don't think I think that's pretty much when I finished growing. I'm like 5'10 and a half. And so we'll see if he hits. He's in seventh grade right now, so we'll see if he hits that same.
That's awesome.
It's crazy. All right, let's talk about some MMA. I guess before we get into UFC 308, I guess the big news is the settlement, the preliminary approval of the settlement.
Yep.
It's a good thing.
It's not finished, right? It's just a preliminary approval, right?
Exactly.
Whatever that means.
Here's what I'm starting to realize, man, that I'm starting to get a little bit worried about. I mean, we've said it going in, like, look, it's a good thing for the fighters because as those letters laid out, a lot of them could really use this money.
Yep.
It's not going to be life-changing money. It's not going to be, you know, quality of life necessary. Well, I guess some
for
quality
some.
Of life if you have nothing. So it's bottom line, it's a good thing. Now, for the UFC, it's a pretty good thing too, right? I mean, like it's not an insignificant amount of money, but it's way less than it could have been, right? So, I mean, and they're not really having to change anything in terms of their business practices and all that. So it works for them. Here's where I'm starting to get worried is, I'm wondering how hard they – and I will have to ask some of the guys that know this, the legal experts out there, is how hard and how effortful do they have to be to find all these people to distribute the money?
Yeah.
Because I've actually talked to two fighters in the past couple weeks as this thing is starting to, like, come to a close that they had no idea they were even part of the class. I'm like, you're absolutely part of this class. You will get a check. And they're like, really? What do I have to do?
If they probably file the claim, they have to file the claim.
So two things. One, you have to file a claim, right? Because it's not like it's not like the UFC has maintained an updated database of these people's contact information and their banking info. You know what I mean? If it's somebody that's on the roster, they've probably wired money to them and they have it. But a lot of these people aren't. And so who's going to actually go out and make sure that every one of the 1,300 fighters on here has been contacted, has been reached, has been spoken to, has been told? And I saw already somebody posting the other day that like they heard that in Brazil there's already managers that are like reaching out to fighters and saying, let me assist you with this. You know what I mean? Like, let me help you get this process. It's kind of a tough process.
Yeah.
Let me go out there and help you with it. When in reality, all it is really they just have to enter their information into a database and they
just
get
make
paid.
Sure it's the right legit database. You know, like reach out. I mean, that's tough because, you know, I've been part of like claims process before. Like I have a CPAP machine. So I was already part of the claim by being an owner of it. But to actually get the actual things, you had to find the proper claim site that was run by the administrators that handled the actual claim. Put your information in there. Then they have record that then they can reach out to you. So, yeah, like you're saying, like, they've been into they're part of it, but there's no guarantee. If they don't have your info, they can't get you the money.
Right.
And who's really taking it to bat to make sure that you put your
That's
claim in?
That's what I'm
in?
Saying.
Because
like,
at the end of the day, when somebody's not claimed, that money is allowed to be dispersed, I'm sure, to somebody.
Exactly. That's what gets said. So I guess I want to make sure that everybody's kind of aware of that.
Yeah,
and
there's probably a decent length of time before that expires. That's
right.
Probably like a year,
I would imagine,
2 years
so.
Or something.
But how much effort do they have to get into? Yeah. Like, it is up to somebody to go out and find and to try to track these people down. You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I just want to say – because, I don't want that money to get distributed to lawyers, to, you know –
They're already getting a decent chunk.
They're already getting a huge chunk of it. So
let's see. So John Nash is one of the names I know.
Yep.
I saw the tweet that you retweeted by the MMA FA.
Right.
I would say fighters will start looking at those Twitter accounts.
Yes.
Because they're going to post the right information, and I'm sure there's other stuff. The UFC, I mean – well, I want to double back on the UFC and, like, the whole perception with them. they're not going to be – I mean, I guarantee if a fighter reaches out to them, I'm not sure how forthcoming – they might just say, I'm not sure who the process is. I don't know if it's on the UFC to even have to provide that info.
Might not be. They might be.
You know?
You can,
it would be
you
good on them to do that.
You can contact this attorney right here, and they'll walk you through
That's
it.
Probably what they would do and just take the process out of it. Going back to it certainly seemed when you mentioned about how the UFC could have paid a lot more. I almost feel like now when these fighters put all these letters out sort of petitioning this judge, like, please take this and make it. I know that the fighters would have wanted more, but in a sense, by sort of petitioning that, it's almost like they were like, thank you, UFC, for putting another dollar. I feel like they almost, in a way, are like on UFC's side because
right.
It wasn't like they went back and were like, UFC, you know, we still, you know, since this process is being held up, you could give us more, but instead they kind of went all in on like the, hey, judge, make this happen. I need this money. We're happy with this. This will be really life-changing. This will help. UFC, you're good for now, you know, sort of
yep.
thing. And it's almost like this is with them petitioning almost, and then with the judge, it's almost like a bit of good PR for the UFC because it's been accepted. And with the fighters coming out pleading for that agreement to be accepted, in a way, unless I'm reading it wrong, it feels like they're like, the UFC's done their part. Judge, now you do your part. And it almost
it is kind of wild.
It almost kind of puts them back in a good light, right, in a weird way. Or maybe I'm just perceiving it wrong.
I get what you're saying.
You
like,
know?
It's really – it doesn't feel like it was too much of a punishment in terms of reputation.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean? Obviously, financially, it wasn't nearly as bad of a punishment as it could have been. And,
yeah.
But you're right. It almost does feel that
and
way.
And there still is the Johnson side, right?
Right.
That class action is still out there.
It is.
So this, I guess, if it's approved, separates them.
It does.
And it's done, you know, and from – when you're looking at the amount of money that was initially supposed to get it, the Johnson one was peanuts compared
peanuts.
To
theirs
the
was
league
more
case.
About structural changes of the contracts itself.
Yeah.
So that's where their changes will be. So
anyway,
I just want to make sure it stays in the news because, as I said, as my life is shifting over more towards production and broadcasting, I'm not really involved in the journalism side of things anymore. And I just hope that people realize this is something to still stay on top of and to try to assist. And if you happen to know a fighter, to make sure that maybe you show them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Reach out to them, ask and say if they're doing their due diligence.
Your circle, yeah. If it's in your circle,
it's not going to happen automatically.
That's it.
It's not going to happen automatically. They have to do something. Have them reach out to somebody that's in the know and start with, like we said, you know, lawyers and people that have been following this case. You know, if you come to me, I'm just going to point you to the people I just already said.
Right.
Go to somebody that legit is paying attention to this, you know, somebody that you trust. If there is a trusted manager that maybe has information, go to them, ask them. Do not allow them to solicit money for that assistance because there are plenty of people out there that will assist you for free. There's nobody that should be asking you for a fee to do this sort of
100%.
Thing. That's just shitty.
And just, I mean, look, it's as simple as this. Like the MMAFA, it's fighters, please go to ufcclassaction.com and provide all the following information.
There you go.
Name, mailing address, email address, phone number. They will provide that to a third-party claims administrator to make sure that they get everything moving forward. So it's that simple. So if you know somebody that is part of this class, and just help them out. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Because, again, I don't know that necessarily it's going to be anybody's responsibility to go knock on the door and track
yeah.
down these people that haven't fought
Hopefully
in the UFC in years.
Hopefully somebody is.
Hopefully.
Because I think, I mean, who hasn't? Have you never gotten, like, a thing that said, oh, like, you're part of a claim? Most of the time, I assume it's bullshit.
Right.
I assume it's, like, somebody
like
just fake or
$6
whatever.
$6 or something.
Like $6.
Yeah.
Brother, I'll take the $6. You know? Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Michael Jung, who's on the hopped in the chat. He says, after many years of subscribing, I think I'm seeing what CC looks like for the first time. That's awesome. There was a reason for that. I like being on that side of the camera, that side over there.
Oh, that's funny.
You know?
And he asked, is this taking place at the Costa Cold Coffee? It is, indeed. We started a little earlier. We talked about the fact that, yeah, you're finally getting to see it.
Yeah.
After all these years, this just slight little corner. I mean, I'd like to turn around and show you the vast expanses, but
I'd have to change lenses.
The state security administrator recommended against that. It would get out some geographical ties that really wouldn't be good. So there's certain.
That's why I'm glad I have you here to stop me from doing little things like that. And I do want to give a shout out. It's so funny. Was it Mark that said that? And in 10 years of road trips, only one hotel room that we know of has been destroyed, courtesy of Fiasco Jones. Shout out episode 100.
Oh,
the most epic story ever told.
We finally got him to tell it at episode number 100, right?
Oh, man. You got to go back and listen. We'll never do it justice, but, you know. Shout out to Fiasco Jones. I mean, the only guy that I know for sure that we helped get fired by being on our show. So shout out. Much love to Fiasco Jones.
I cannot tell you.
He's doing better.
He's actually doing better.
He's in a better spot.
I can't tell you the amount of guilt.
You're welcome, Fiasco. You're welcome. You're in a better spot.
We knew that you weren't happy with you are, and we knew that the fear that you couldn't face of getting out and leaving the job, and so we helped you to separate yourself from your income.
Yes.
Oh my God, I felt so bad.
Well, he certainly had beef with the same person that I had beef with as well. It was a whatever.
You weren't there in when we went out in the Reeperbahn in Netherlands one time, or I don't even remember what that city was.
No, I've never. I don't think I've been to the Netherlands. Amsterdam?
Maybe Rotterdam? Maybe we're Rotterdam.
Oh, no.
I don't remember what city. For whatever reason,
Fiasco?
Oh yeah. For whatever reason, I was trying to be good on this trip. Like, it was one of these times when I was like, nah, guys, I need to, you know, I'm going to stay back. And they just kept, like, nudging me, like, oh, we should go out. And I'm like, nah, I'm just going to hang out here at the hotel, maybe have a little wine, chill a little bit, and just keep it low-key. And then finally, I don't know what it was, like, something just snapped at me. Like, it was, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, F you guys, let's go now. Like, you know, really good. And yeah, we went
That's
out.
That's so ridiculous.
Oh, we went out at, like, 3 a.m. It was...
So that would have been, like, a fight night before the fight night? Certainly not on, like, a, you know, that wouldn't be a...
No, not like a big pay-per-view. Yeah, it was a good, yeah. Yeah, fight night. Back when we used to go to everything. Used to travel a lot.
No, I meant, like, the night before fight night. Sorry.
Oh, no, I think it was the night before weigh-ins.
brutal.
Dude, you know what's funny, man? I got a chance to hang out with a buddy of mine. Shout out to Kevin Pope. He was a friend of mine from back in Dallas before I even started in this journey, right? And he was a buddy of mine right when I first started getting into this full time, when I was leaving the restaurant business. When I was going through a divorce, to be honest with you, a big change in my life. And I hadn't seen him in forever. You know, we texted a couple, but you know, it's just like, hey, what's up, man? I'm good. How are you, bro? But anyway, he was in town. His brother works for the PGA Tour, and they were doing the golf tournament out here. And so he was like, hey, I'm in town. Let's get together. And I flew back from CFSC 137, and I was like, let's go. Let's go hang out. And so we went. I took him Fremont and took him on. But it was really wild because since we're sitting here.
Got to go to Dino's.
Of course we went to Dino's. I mean, what kind of question is that? But as we're sitting here reflecting on 500 episodes, so he had no idea, like, any of this stuff. So I'm talking to him. He's like, I brought up something about, like, China, or I don't even remember what got brought up. You know, it's like, oh, have you ever been there? Like, oh yeah, I believe, you know, Russia, China, Singapore, Philippines. I was like, Brazil 30 times, Australia. Like, just like, what? It's like, what?
What did he think he did?
Well, he knew I was covering mixed martial arts, but he doesn't really cover the sport. Like, his life is, like, entrenched in, like, golf and PGA, and he knows that world. And he just had no idea, like, how much
that you've been traveling. And
It was pretty wild. It sounds fake. It sounds like made up when you're like, what are they?
Well, even when you started going through the list of, like, the places that we had been, it does sound fake. Like, it can't be real. The possibility that we, you know, somebody paid to send us all over the world, you know, and it's been a blessing. It's been a lot of work, a lot of, you know, crazy nights, long nights. But man, it's been fun. And it's funny. I saw this meme the other day. And it was like, people today, you know, they go out and they go hard in the club, but then they call off the next day because they can't do it. And her thing was like, when back in our day, we'd go out to the club till 5 a.m. We'd go home, change, and go to work with the stamps on the hand, which reminds me of some of the nights when we'd go out before open workout, or I'm sorry, the early weigh-ins, or just going, you know, super hard late in the day, and then you just get up and you struggle and you get to there and you
there's
just,
no
you
way
got
I could do
work.
That anymore.
I know.
By the way, it's Hamburg, Germany. Simon Head chimed in. I remember that. Thank you, Simon was there. Hamburg, Germany. That was a crazy night. But you're right. Like, I couldn't. There's a lot of things. We had a good time. I mean, a really good time that powered through. I don't think I could power through like we used to.
When I don't drink for like that much, and I drink like a couple beers now, I feel it for like half of the day the next day. There's no way. I could certainly try. And that's the problem, is that you get in that muscle memory, you know, you're just like, oh, yeah, all right, fuck it. If we're going to do it, let's do it. You know, let's have a beer. Oh, man, fuck it. Let's have a shot. Let's have a shot. Then we end up like what happened when we hung out with James, where the rest of the night's a blackout. And it's just like, what did we do last night, you know? And it's like,
oh, man.
I mean, physically, you're not supposed to be able to keep doing that thing. It's fun for a while. I mean, the desire is to do it, you know, to do it. But there's a thing about wisdom as you age. And at a point, you're like, stop. There's a point where you're like, I want to go out in the other parts. Like, stop. Let's go out. No, stop.
I still got the little devil guy on the shoulder. Unfortunately, it talks a little too much. Yeah, the little angel guy over here. He's trying.
That's my voice. Yeah. Then your voice is over here. I'm like, stop. You like, just talk right over.
All right, UFC 308. Let's talk about it real quick. Obviously, we are not over in Abu Dhabi. Speaking of places we have been and cover, but this time we'll be watching at home, which I love. 7 a.m. fights. I think. My plan is that not that this needs to be revealed live on air, but I need to get my oil changed in my car. So I think my plan and the dealership opens at 7. So I think I'm going to take my computer, go to the dealership at 7 a.m. while they work on my car, and then after that, maybe come over here and watch the main car. Maybe do a little and a half episode together.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I'm down. It's funny you talk about the oil change. I went to one of these like quick change places the other day. You don't even have to get out of your car.
What?
Like, there was one right down Saharan Jones. I forget what the quick change or something.
You stay in your car?
You literally stay in your car. I pulled right in. They're like, okay, turn your lights. Check your lights. Okay, that's good. That's good. Oh, do me a favor. Go and turn it off for a second. Pop your hood. They can look at it. And then they're right there. They're like, do you want the synthetic or you want the whatever? And you just sort of tell them. I stayed right in the car and literally in and out in like 20 minutes. They try to upsell you like, you sure you don't want to change your air filter and the blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how much is it? It's like more than what you would go if you go to AutoZone, like air filter and like cabin filter. Like cabin filter is the filter on the inside of the car that you can literally change and it's like nothing. But they charge like $1 million. And the guy's like, it's too much. Don't do it. Don't do it. But it's just funny because you're having all this discussion while you're sitting in your car. Normally, a lot of other places, you get out and they upsell you while you're in the lobby. This, literally, I was in the car, 20, I think, in and out.
Roll the window up. Like, no upsell to me, bro.
Just put it in. But it was so amazing. But it was, like, super quick. But that's when you were saying about the dealer. I was like, dude, if I remember the name, I'll try to find
it. So I go to Findlay Kia. I'm going to give them a shout-out.
I've bought multiple vehicles.
I've been.
They treat you like the bars. They're like, Mr. Morgan.
They treat me great. Yeah,
Mr. Morgan,
they treat me like it's great. It's like cheers over there when
Mr.
I walk
Morgan,
in.
Mr. Morgan, we
they, I, it was actually one of the first cars that I bought from them. I brought back over the deal. I brought the dealer or one of the heads of the sales team, an autographed poster from Dublin of the last time Conor McGregor headlined a Fight Night. It was, you know, poster was $100. Those things. Did you know what the Sphere one was? $2,500.
Serious for a signed poster?
$2,500 for the signed poster. Now they're like $1,000 is not uncommon. $500 is not uncommon. You used to be able to get them for like $100.
Wow.
If the Fight Night ones, you can still get for like $100. Like I see them at the Apex when we walk by there, whatever.
Mexican Rob, man, you got to pay a premium for that.
I thought about getting the Sphere one. $2,500.
That's bonkers.
But anyway, so I'm gonna go there.
They can't. There's never been anything even close to that.
Nothing. Like that's 1,000 was the most before that.
That's even crazy.
And even that was crazy.
That's crazy.
But I go to Findlay Kia, so I want to shout them out. They're great over there. They treat me really well over there. And but anyway, so that's my plan. So I think we'll come by. All right.
That's our oil change talk.
Did I mention that when we started this podcast, we had no plan whatsoever? Not
we didn't
a business
even tell
plan.
Them about the weather.
We don't. Weather's gorgeous.
Weather is awesome right now. I think earlier that when I went out and walked, it was like 69, 70 degrees, something like that. Right now, I think it was supposed to get to like 85, 87. So it's starting to get a little warm. But right now, this is the perfect time you want to come to Vegas. Come now.
April, October.
Dude, it is so good. Even though the beginning of this October wasn't playing around, though.
It was hot.
It was like, we're not done yet. Like, keep your shorts on.
Since we got the weather update plugged in real quick, can we also get the
dirt update?
The F1 update?
Oh, dude, F1 update.
I love this thing that you tweeted from Vital Vegas, if you ever want Vegas information, Vital Vegas is
– Vital Vegas and Las Vegas Local.
Yeah, Las Vegas Locally.
Locally.
Those great follows. They just have a lot of cool information, like cool restaurants, cool deals going on, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, they have a brilliant promotion. It's the anti-race weekend. It's Crazy Horse 3, the strip club.
Yeah.
But basically, they're on the weekend race, they're allowing like free entry
for locals.
For locals,
I want to say locals get free entry, a free buffet, and open bar. Dude, I was literally like, J-Mo, this is like, she's just calling your name. And then what did it say? And it was like, and if you're not a Nevada local, it's like you could still experience hundreds of beautiful ladies sitting on your laps for mere dollars or something like that.
That's amazing.
Something ridiculous. But yeah, but even then, they're, and I don't know how it worked out, but there's this Neon Festival concert or whatever.
Okay.
That's in, I think, in one of the same articles that I read. That got the convention center. They actually did $1 million like sponsorship, but the concert is like another anti like F1. It's like F1 something like festival or whatever. And part of that, you know, as much as I mean, there's going to be race people that love their race and they're going to come to Vegas and it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic.
The
like
traffic
the shots at night
is crazy.
It's just it's all the lead up and it's all the stuff, it's all the peripheral stuff that is what everybody's pissed off about.
Yep.
Nobody is really like, I don't care about the actual race itself. It's all the peripheral damage that it does.
Yeah, it looks cool. And it looks cool.
The visuals at night are bonkers. Mm-hmm. Like some of the shots of like the sphere and the way it has its little race hat on and stuff is really cool. But for that, it looks better on TV, and people are getting paying thousands and thousands of dollars to go sit in a seat to watch, like, nothing, 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 yow, then nothing, nothing again.
That is wild.
And then they drank their overpriced drinks and stuff, and it's just like, it's better on TV, but what we've been bitching about is to set up all these seats, they're blocking some of the most iconic stuff in Vegas that tourists want to come see.
Fountains of Bellagio are completely blocked right now.
And they block access to a lot of buildings, and so there's still lawsuits from Ellis Island, which I love to death. Ellis Island is part of the ones as well as some of the other ones that are suing them for millions of dollars to get money back. But nobody's like keeps raising the stink. Forever we were hammering like the – I think we – I mean I was hammering their Twitter account like the county. I was like, show us the receipts. And nobody was, you know, giving any reports. I was just like
– really?
Yeah, I kept like hitting, I kept trying to hit them like, show the receipts. And then somehow, some little report came out somewhere, even though I can't find it, I only found it being talked about on Twitter, that said that they said that there was a $250 million economic impact, which is not even maybe a third of, I think.
Yeah,
they said there was
going to
be like $1 billion. You know, and like nobody kept saying it. So it's like, say you took that $250 million, but then you're not even taking account this class action suit, all this other lawsuit, and now we're doing it again. So they're trying to change it this time around so it's not as affecting, but... You know, you had one shot to do it right. You made enemies of the city.
I'm not at full liberty to disclose. Well, actually, you know what? I take it back. We already talked about these on air. Because November, there is quite a bit of CFSC match day going on. But November 23rd, I'll be in Las Vegas.
It's the 23rd and the 24th, I think, for the concert.
Open bar at the strip club. I mean,
just to do research, we should probably research the economic impact that's happening at that bar for them to offer free entry, a free buffet. We should probably go and like check out the quality of the food. An open bar. I'm interested. What drinks are you going to put in an open bar? You know, like
I'll sample them all.
Yes, you would.
It's all you can drink, not
it's
all
just
you should
for
drink.
Research purposes.
Just for research purposes.
Research purposes.
All right, let's talk about UFC 308. Let me get your take. Obviously, there's some great fights on here up and down, but we know what's getting all the attention. It is the main event and the co-main event, and rightfully so. The media day was earlier today. I've seen a lot of the videos that came across. I've seen a lot of the interviews. Obviously, we know the parties involved in this. You know, Ilia Topuria, Max Holloway, Robert Whittaker, Hamza Chimaev. Are you feeling strongly about anybody in either one of those? Because I don't know, like in both, like I mean, the thing about it is like all these fighters, there's so much tape on them, there's so we know about them, we know what they're going to bring to the table. Ilya, I'm a little bit interested because I do feel like Ilya's best path to victory would be to use his grappling. But again, I was talking to Frankie Edgar this morning, and Frankie did bring a good point. You know, because I'm like, I personally think Ilya's kind of saying, hey, I'm going to point to the center in the first 10 seconds. We're going to go throw down. And maybe he will. Not to say that he can't win with striking. He does have great striking. But I think, honestly, against Max Holloway, grappling would probably be his best effort. Yeah. But like Frankie Edgar this morning was like, how many people have really out-grappled Max Holloway? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not like he's bad at grappling or something. Yeah. So I don't know. So in my head, I feel like Ilya is that guy right now. And I know we all love Max.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Max. And I know that what he did to Justin Gaethje was just unbelievable. And for him, if he could do that again, it would be unbelievable. But I don't know. I feel like Ilya has more ways to win. He is the undefeated guy. But you want to cheer for Max. How about in that one? Do you have a strong feel either way? Or is it just kind of a, we're going to see what happens?
Not a strong feel. I did lean Ilya in our staff picks. I mean, I think one with the Max and the whole pointed down, Max was so dominant in that fight. I think at that point, he just felt invincible. He felt Justin's power at that point. I felt that he was just like, there's nothing that you could do to stop me at this point. So, yeah, let's just settle it right here and let's just finish it. Ilya, if they go in swinging right from the get-go, I mean, one, it would be a silly move, you know, and I think because if it did end right away, I think plus a lot of people would be like, oh, what was all that build-up for? You know, I mean, I'm sure it'd be great highlight video, but I don't envision anybody doing anything. And to put a belt on the line without using the full weapons and only just trying to strike when you know that you have all these other tools.
Right.
Would just be silly.
I agree.
And just for the fact that nobody's really been dominant in taking Max down doesn't mean it can't happen. I mean, I think Ilya's just going to he'll probably just have to eat some shots to get his way in to get a hold of Max. But will he get a hold of him at some point? Sure. I think so. But I just think he has more weapons to win this particular fight where Max, he would win it on his feet. And I think Ilya has a better chance of, you know, if he gets a hold of him to getting it down the ground and make it sort of just dirty and grimy and maybe get a TKO out of it or something. But I did lean towards Ilya. But if Max goes out and does what Max does and stuns him with great hands and is able to stay away and he pieces him up and he gets a fantastic like knockout win to get the belt.
It'd be amazing.
That'd be awesome. That'd be one hell of a just a highlight on an already incredible career. But, I mean, I don't envision that happening, but it would be awesome to see.
Yep.
I'm more of a question is like, who's this humble, quiet Hamzat that we've seen at Media Day? I was like, who is this guy? You know, shows up and like dressed as like a librarian or a teacher or something with like his.
Somebody had a funny tweet. It was one of these. I think it was just one of these like content accounts or whatever. Yeah. But it was like the you know Hamzat normally is like I kill everyone. Yeah. This is like calm down. We talk about it a little. You know, like we talk.
I mean, a lot of time. I mean, I like to think that you know. Time and distance and having to step away from the fight game for a while has made, you know, like they always say, you know, distance makes the heart fonder.
Right.
I think he certainly appreciates the fact that now he has this opportunity to perform again. And I think he's more just not sure of what he's saying. He's just taking it in more.
Yeah.
Whereas before it was like he was playing a character. You know, he's like, I'm bold, I'm brash, I want to smash everybody. Like, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. And then it's like, oh, well, we're having a hard time getting you a fight. And at some point, he's like, you know, is this, I think it's going to happen. So now I think he's just much more like, I'm not going to give any fuel to make something not happen.
But do you anticipate a change in fighting style?
No, but I did when I was listening to a little bit of what he was saying, you know, about bringing in people. He's not going crazy all out like in his previous like camps. He used to just like just go until he dropped dead, like exhaustion,
right.
Pushing himself to another level. They said he wasn't quite doing on this one. I don't take that as a sign of like, oh, well, he's not going to have the toughness. I think he's either working with like, if he's supposedly working with these high-level performance guys that are saying, no, don't just blow your load, everything, because you're not going to peak at the right time. I think they're trying to build him up so that he peaks at fight night, and he's not coming in as a diminished athlete right before the fight. You know, he's had all this time away. I think a lot of people are, you know, questioning, you know, has there been the intensity? Has there been the training? Or has he just been off enjoying life? You know, it's been, you know, time away. Like, if he was getting the activity level that we'd see from most other fighters, his body would have more wear and tear. Mm-hmm. Maybe he would be at a certain baseline higher than what we're not quite sure where he's at right now because we haven't seen him tested. But on a whim, I trusted the hype that's been Hamzat, you know, up this point. And I don't know why, but you know, and this is like one of those fights that Whitaker is going to do what Whitaker could do and just like show up and dominate. But I did pick Hamzat in this one.
I'm feeling Whitaker in this one, but knowing that, and again, it's one of those things. If you told me, hey, John, this fight's going to end in the first round, who do you want?
Yeah.
I want Hamzat. If you tell me, hey, John, you know, this fight's going to end in round 3, 4, 5, who do you want? I want Robert Whitaker. You know what I mean? So you got to survive that early run.
I think it's like if Robert can keep the distance and keep it a fight on the feet standing, everything leans in Whitaker's favor. But the question is like, is Hamzat going to be able to get a hold of him? Not that people are known to just be able to kind of keep Whitaker down, you know, but it's a matter of Hamzat, when he gets a hold of people, man, he just has a way of just taking the fight away from them, and they take him out of the equation. So if Hamzat can, you know, erase that distance and get a hold of him, I think he has enough to get it done. And that's kind of what I'm banking on, is the fact that Hamzat's just going to get a hold of him and he's not going to let go. And it might not be the most exciting, but even if he doesn't take a lot of damage, if he just does that control and he just gets his shots up against the cage, he's just going to slowly win the round, round by round by round. And it might not get a finish. It might be five rounds of maybe, you know, unfortunately, the most exciting thing. But that's what I'm kind of leaning. I think he's just going to have his we've never seen him not sort of be able to, you know, eventually work it to his way. So who knows? I mean, Whitaker is Whitaker, man. And
he is.
He's just so fun to listen to and watch. And he's another guy that kind of bears his heart out there when he wins and when he loses. And it's like, I can't say a bad thing about the guy. So it's like, I don't think anybody wishes any ill will towards Whitaker, because he's given everything
he's
for
the
sport. Yeah, he's so cool, man.
Mark Fellows actually asked, with an impressive win over Shamaya, so if it did happen, what is the realistic likelihood of Whitaker pinching the title shot from Strickland against Dricus du Plessis in his hometown, Sydney, at USC 312, presuming he is unscathed?
If he smashes him,
you think so?
If he smashes him, finishes him early. If he makes him look silly, it'd be hard to sort of, you know, I mean, he certainly would give them the potential to do it. I mean, if it's
at worst case, you'd try to put him in there as like, oh, you wouldn't even need to give him a number one contender fight. That maybe make him the backup. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, outside of like Hamzat, I mean, like, what other fight?
Yeah, there's not. That's what I'm saying. There's not another fight that you would need to make him take.
Yeah. Because you would want him, at that point, if I was him, I would sit out waiting for it.
That'd be interesting. And then maybe you go to Sean Strickland and you're like, look, I know that was the plan, and you still do get a title shot in your next one, but we want to do it International Fight Week in Vegas. You don't even have to travel. I bet Sean would do that. Like, you mean I don't even have to go to Australia? I don't have to fly all the way down there? I'll sit out.
Yeah.
So maybe. You know what I mean? I think it's possible anyway. Maybe it could happen. It's got to be an impressive
win.
It's got to be like.
It can't just be a win.
Yeah.
Can't just be a win. I mean, it has to be something that Dana's like, oh my goodness. And then you have to have the perfect post-fight speech to make it all happen. Because if the fans want it, and if the fighters want it, and you make the champ want it, then it's a done deal. You know, then Dana just makes it happen. You know, if you have, you know, Dricus or somebody like, yes, this is the dude. Like, he deserves it with a performance like that, you know, more so than, you know, giving Sean a chance.
What have you done for me lately, right? That's what it's all about, man. It's about seizing those moments, seizing those opportunities, and really jumping on it. So,
but he'd have to do some serious smashing.
Yeah.
If it's just a win, no way.
Well, first ever live show. I mean, they've all been really live shows, but yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we never edit anything, but it's kind of funny. Like,
did we ever? I think maybe at one point we cut a little. We were like, maybe you cut this. I think that maybe ended the first 10 episodes. I think we were like,
who cares?
Like, let's
say whatever you want to say.
Whatever. Are we getting about that time? Oh, we have broached an hour.
Look at that.
Wow. Let me just check the chat. You can keep talking. Let me just pull up the chat, make sure we're not missing anybody. But this has been fun. And we could definitely do this again. And how long did it take us to get to 500? So for episode 1,000?
Episode 1,000. So in 2033, in another 9 years from now, 2033, we've got to figure out what we're going to do next. You know, it's so funny. I'm talking about I've been in 498 of 500 episodes. And I'm so proud of us every week. I got to travel next Wednesday. So we got to figure out. I mean, do we go so
we
early
go
as
early.
Tuesday? Or?
Well, even I was going to say, because is there a media day?
What is next week?
Let me look on the calendar.
I know I'm traveling to Denver on Wednesday, and I think we're driving up to Cheyenne,
Wyoming. No,
there's
nothing next week because
it's a week off.
It's in Edmonton.
Oh, it's in Edmonton, Alberta. So maybe we go Tuesday, because I know like Wednesday I'm traveling to Cheyenne, and then Thursday I'm on the mic, but I'm on the mic and production, so I got like a full day.
So it'd have to be Tuesday.
It'd have to be Tuesday or maybe early Wednesday morning. I don't know what time my flight. I have to get my flight booked. I think it's going to be impossible.
Ooh, on the 30th, I'm getting my tree getting trimmed. So let's maybe Tuesday.
I guess
let's go Tuesday. Yeah, because I just noticed I'm getting my tree trimmed.
Is that like a euphemism for something?
Totally not a euphemism. I'm really getting the front yard, getting the tree trimmed. In front.
Getting the old tree trimmed. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's been a while. You got to keep that wood looking good.
You got to get the bushwhacked. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Got to make the tree look big, you know. You trim them bushes. But yeah, no, we can do Tuesday unless Friday is better for you if you want to go.
No,
there.
Because then I'm traveling from. So we do that Thursday, and then from there we go to Virginia.
Oh, you got two trips. Yeah. Let's just do Tuesday.
Let's do two. So we're gonna do Tuesday.
I mean, if it makes it easier, then rather do the Wednesday morning, because yeah, Wednesday morning starts at 7 a.m. I have my. I think they have an arrival between 7 and like. 9. I hate it when they do that. They're like, we're going to give you a 2-hour window, and then they show up at like 9.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, just say you're going to be here at 9.
Get up that early.
Yeah. Crazy. So, yeah, we'll do Tuesday. So, yeah, we're going to come early next week. How's that? Executive decision on the fly.
I love it. Mark's like, we've got to wait another 9 years for another live show. No, we could probably do more of this, to be honest.
Well, and again, I initially wanted – I need to up some other little things here, and then next one we should have more. Because I wanted to have – I was going to have a little switcher, and I was going to go, and then you were even like, do you even want to do that during the show? And I was like, no, I don't really want to.
Yeah, we're going to do like full production. Like, I was like – you still have to host, by the way. You still have to talk. You can't just be like, oh, John, I'm producing, so you can handle it yourself.
Huh? What did you say?
Oh, man.
But yeah, no, because this is if people are fine with this, this is an easy enough setup. It's just the one camera shoot. But yeah, I mean, we could definitely do more of these. I mean,
especially for the fine folks over at patreon.com/TheMARoadshow who help support us.
Yeah,
and have always been there. So, all right, listen,
we'll work it on it.
We'll work on it. Like, yeah, another 9 years or so.
Definitely, you can at least plan on that one.
Episode 1000 will be live.
1,100% will be live.
Log that.
We'll see what we can do in the meantime.
In the meantime. All right. I got to pack up. I got to go get on it. Speaking of production, I got to get on a production phone call over at my house, so I'm going to head home. It takes me a while to make it out of these yards.
Yeah, you know.
Great estate
all
here.
All the little gates.
All the
and
acreage.
Stuff.
And you know, get past everything.
Sorry about that.
All right. We'll get together this weekend, watch a little UFC 308. Hopefully everybody – appreciate everybody that did join us live. That is awesome. For everybody that's listening afterwards, that's cool. We always appreciate you checking us out. And, yeah, man, we say it all the time, but we really mean it. Thanks for listening.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.